Hey there, welcome to 7-Minute Books, I'm Sam. Today we're getting into Jules Evans and his book Philosophy for Life. Sophie, what's the one idea that made you sit up straight?
Hey there, Sam. For me, it was the idea that ancient philosophy is not about abstract theories, it's about spiritual exercises. Evans takes Stoicism, Epicureanism, Skepticism, and Cynicism and turns them into practical workouts for your mind.
That's what got me too. He leans on Pierre Hadot, who argued that the Greeks saw philosophy as a transformative practice, not just a classroom debate. The goal was eudaimonia, which means human flourishing, not just being clever in an argument.
Right. And the book runs through those schools like a toolkit. The Stoics get the most attention, and I think that's because their core teaching maps so well onto modern anxiety.
The core teaching is Epictetus's dichotomy of control. Some things are up to us, like our judgments, impulses, and desires. Other things are not up to us, like our bodies, reputations, and other people's actions. Freedom comes from pouring all your energy into the first list.
And Evans makes it visceral with James Stockdale, the Navy pilot shot down over Vietnam. He spent 7 years in the Hanoi Hilton and survived by remembering that his captors could own his body, but not his inner citadel, his will, and his values.
Yeah, that story gets me every single time. It's the ultimate example of choosing your response.
Then there are the exercises. The view from above is where you zoom out to a cosmic scale and your little annoyance becomes a dot in the galaxy.
I honestly tried that during a stressful week, and it does something. It doesn't erase the feeling, but it shrinks it down to its actual size.
Negative visualization works the opposite way. You imagine losing the things you value, and it shocks you into gratitude. It fights hedonic adaptation, the way we take everything for granted.
Yeah, at first I was like, that's kind of dark. But after doing it, I felt a genuine appreciation for the ordinary stuff. It's like a gratitude shot.
Marcus Aurelius used to do a nightly self-audit. He would ask himself whether he'd acted with justice, whether fear or anger had carried him away, and what he'd do differently tomorrow.
Evans suggests you can do that with a single journal question. It's a way to keep yourself honest without a full psychological overhaul.
Then Epicurus, who gets a bad rap as a hedonist. He actually separated necessary desires, like food, shelter, and friends, from unnecessary ones, like fame and luxury. The unnecessary ones are infinite, and they create craving rather than fulfillment.
And his recipe for happiness was ataraxia, a deep, waveless calm. He built his garden as a community of friends, living simply and talking philosophy together, which is kind of beautiful.
The skeptics also offer something important. They practice epiche, suspension of judgment, because so many of our certainties are just opinions that drag us into anxiety.
Right. When you let go of the belief that you know exactly how things will go, the future stops being a horror movie. That's the practical payoff.
And that insight is literally built into modern cognitive behavioral therapy. Aaron Beck and Albert Ellis drew directly from Stoic and skeptic traditions to create CBT and REBT.
I love that connection. Evans shows that the ancients weren't just wise, they were proto-therapists. The exercises they designed are still sitting under some of the best mental health tools we have.
Then there's cynicism, which is the wildest school. Diogenes lived in a barrel and told Alexander the Great to get out of his sunlight. The idea is to deface the currency of social norms and expose the absurdity of status chasing.
And Evans turns that into a practical dare. You break a small social rule, like being honest or starting a chat with a stranger, and you learn that the world doesn't collapse when you step off the script.
So when you lay all four out, Stoicism gives you endurance, Epicureanism gives you savoring, Skepticism gives you serenity, and Cynicism gives you courage.
That's the synthesis right there. And he doesn't preach it from the clouds. He shares his own struggles with anxiety and how he used these techniques to climb out, which makes it feel human.
He even mentions philosophical counseling, where trained philosophers use Socratic dialogue to help people with real problems. That's a job I'd actually want.
So my big takeaway, is that philosophy is not something you read once and check off. It's a set of reps you have to keep doing. The view from above, the negative visualization, the nightly audit, it's all practice.
Yeah, and that's why I think this book is such a gift. It gives you a concrete way to be better at being human without needing a degree or a guru.
Exactly. You can literally start tonight by writing one question in a notebook and answering it honestly. That's the whole entry point.
And the best part is that all of this is modular. You don't have to take on every school at once. You can pick the one that speaks to you and start there.
All right. So if I have to name the one thing I'm taking away, it's this. The good life isn't a mystery. It's a training program. Evans hands you the ancient syllabus, and whether you use it is up to you.
And if you want to keep exploring, the full library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, with infographics on many of them, and the price is $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. So the ancient philosophers left us a full gymnasium for the soul, and Evans gives you the key. You just have to show up for your own practice. We'll see you in the next one.